minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Steve Perhatch, joined with Dusty Evely. Dusty, it is game day. I feel like there's a mix-up. They should not have us on the game day podcast. What is happening, dude?
You know, Andy kept calling me today, and I just kept ignoring my calls because I assumed he was telling me that this was all a big mistake and we shouldn't do it. But if you ignore the calls, that means you don't have to do what he says. So yeah, I feel like it's a mix-up, but hey, man, it's falling in our favor. I could not be more excited.
Yeah, exactly. Packers 4-4-1, taking on the Seattle Seahawks today. It's Thursday night football, which is just stupid. It shouldn't be happening. Both teams are coming off late games on Sunday. Both traveling. So I don't know. It's exciting. It's really cool. The Packers are going to be in their quote color rush jerseys. All right, I got to start here. Everybody's listened to this, and I'm sure, like, I did a whole episode with Josh Zirkle and Trevor Jossard about how the Packers need new uniforms. They're not color rush. They are not color rush. They're wearing their yellow helmets. They're wearing white shirts and pants. What is your take on this? Just inform me how you feel.
You know, as far as the color rush stuff, I don't mind it because you look at, like, it was like the Jets and Browns, and the Jets was just like just that green, just like a dull green, the whole thing, and the Browns were just that dull orange, or just an absolute eyesore. So in comparison to other color rush ones, I don't mind it, but at the same time, dude, it looks so lazy. It's so lazy. So yeah, it doesn't really bother me, but I also don't really understand it, but I'm also an old man, so like I don't know.
See, this is my whole argument, is that the NFL should follow what the NBA does. The NBA comes out every single year with a brand new jersey, a city edition, and it's always talked about and everybody wants to buy it and it's new merchandising. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that would be awesome. Instead of every 5 years, you get a new jersey. And I'm looking, I've got an autographed mini helmet. It is awesome. It is a white and silver Packers helmet. So okay, base white and the G is silver. Like, it's called the Ice Edition. Like, that would be amazing to throw with the white shirts and white pants. But no, we're stuck with the quote color rush. And I'm sure, you know, the Seattle Seahawks are going to come out in a neon yellow and
maybe like the Oregon Ducks out there or something.
Exactly.
Let me ask you though, Steve. So if the Packers were to do like the city type alternate ones, is it just, it's just the Kroll's West outline, right? Like, that's all the Green Bay City outline is. Maybe you get Lambeau and you get Kroll's and that's it.
You know, something like that. I've seen some crazy stuff. I've seen some, you know, Swiss cheese helmets. Yeah. Who knows? They could get wild with it. It's never going to happen, Dusty.
Never going to. Man, I like that you're dreaming though, Steve.
I'm never going to see a Swiss cheese helmet, but, you know. I digress. We move on. Before we get to everything Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers, did you see the field in Mexico City?
I did.
Holy God, what is happening?
I don't know, man. It's like Soldier Field after three teams played a whole bunch of games on it in a row or something. It looks like a nightmare.
I mean, I'm unbelievably happy because they've already moved that game, but wow, that was shocking to me because the NFL doesn't mess around. They don't want to have a bad product. And for Mexico City to not have this under control was pretty shocking to me.
Yeah, and they used to do games down there. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember. I've not looked into this. That would require research, I suppose. But, I mean, I don't. That used to be a semi-regular thing. They're trying to make that happen before, say, London happened. And I think it's been a year or two since there's been a game, but it used to be like on a fairly regular basis. And I always loved watching those games, just scan the crowd, because everyone's wearing a different uniform, like outfit of someone who played 20 years ago. But
oh yeah, that's where you get quality. Like you'd see a Peyton Hillis jersey that, you know, they're not even playing, but yeah, just the random jerseys. But that's what you go for.
It's just tremendous. Yeah, but yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's not like it's not unexpected. They've had games down there before with very little issue, as far as I'm understanding. Like this isn't the Packers Hall of Fame game, Steve. You know, I kind of thought they'd have it a little more together, but yeah, I don't know. It was shocking for sure. A little shocking.
But yeah, it's good. They made the right decision. They made it early, so everybody's got time to get to LA and do just fine. So yeah, so we're doing good there. All right, let's just dive right into it. We have the Packers injury report. Not traveling with the team to Seattle: Kevin King, Randall Cobb, Nick Perry, Kentrell Bryce. So you've got those guys definitely out. And then questionables are Rashad Breeland and Blake Martinez. What's your early takeaway? Like, what are you feeling? Is this going to be horrible? Are they going to be able to survive these injuries?
I mean, looking at these names, I mean, the only one that would kill them is if Blake Martinez can't play, I think. I mean, I was going to say all these other guys. I love most of these other guys. I mean, you know, I'm a huge Cobb fan. I've made no secret of that. I'm a very big Cobb fan. He's barely been on the field this year. And so that's not going to be a killer, especially with the way MVS and even St. Brown have come up. So that's not a killer. Kevin King, when he's on the field, I really like him a lot. But again, he's not really on the field. Like, those aren't a killer. And then Perry and Bryce, whatever. The Martinez one, I hope he can play, because especially against a guy like Wilson, who is going to get out, who is going to move, like you need kind of a sure tackler. You need a defense that plays a little disciplined up front. And I mean, I love, say Oren Burks. If Oren Burks takes over that role or something, he's young, he's fast. I could see him getting out of position and getting burned real, real fast. So I think of all those names, the only one that would really, really hurt would be Martinez. You know, Breeland flashed some good and some bad last week. But he's not a huge part of this team. So it's Martinez for me is the only one that had me really, really nervous.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a thin secondary. If Breeland doesn't go, if Bryce obviously isn't going, King isn't going with a hammy, I mean, you're thin there. But from everything I've read, everything you've seen, it looks like they're not going to be throwing the ball as much. It looks like the Seahawks are going to want to ground and pound, as well as the Packers. Like, if we're talking about what this game should be, I'm going to air quote should be, because no way in hell that we know anything is actually going to happen in this game. We say it should be because Aaron Jones should be featured. Chris Carson should be there. Mm-hmm. Mike Davis should be there for Seattle. So, I mean, it has, as we talked about this a little pre-show, you said this has the feeling of just a ground and pound, like old school football game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you look at kind of where both teams' strengths and weaknesses, just looking at Football Outsiders DVOA, I mean, it's Seattle has by Football Outsiders DVOA, the 7th best rush offense, and the Packers have the 26th best rush defense. On the other side, Packers have the 2nd best rush offense, and the Seahawks have the 20th best rush defense. So,
sorry, the Packers have the 2nd best
rush by Football Outsiders DVOA, 2nd best rushing attack in the league. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean that's, and the passing offense are both basically middle of the road, and the passing defenses are fairly good on both sides. So yeah, this, again, like you said, Steve, we're gonna say this is gonna be a, you know, 14-6 grinder, and then it's gonna be 42-37 or something like that. Like you can't tell what's gonna happen, but based on how everything looks, yeah, it looks ground and pound. And the only thing that other really scares me about that is you play off the ground and pound. Seattle is the best offense and the best play action offense in the league, and the Packers have the worst play action defense in the league. So like if Seattle can set up the run, and by all accounts they should be able to, good God, man, there could be some openings downfield.
Yeah, I mean it's reminiscent of the old days of the Russell Wilson drops back and everybody bites on his yep. play action, and then over the top to Baldwin, and oh God, just it hurts my heart right now, even just thinking of that NFC Championship game, of that play. Oh, and I mean, I saw highlights of it, and Tremont was in there, and Tremont's on the team again. And like, I'm distraught. I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I was hoping to have some really nice words of wisdom I mean, they haven't re-signed Bostic yet, so I mean, we're not quite there yet. We're not quite there yet. Be okay. They'll be okay.
One thing I did want to talk to you about, this is something I saw, it was pretty prevalent in on the Milwaukee sports radio. We actually didn't talk about this at all, so this is a genuine reaction coming from Dusty. What do you feel is the Packers' rush defense? Do you believe that their pass rushers, they have a good pass rush or a bad pass rush? Because right now they are tied for first in sacks. And they have 15 of them on third downs, which is huge. Yet, everybody has this feeling of, we don't have a pass rush. The Packers don't have a pass rush. So how is it possible for them to have 31 sacks and tied for the league lead, but also have that feeling of, I don't know what's happening. Like, they don't have a pass rush.
Well, you know, and the crazy thing, too, so I did, we didn't talk about this. You say genuine reaction. I recorded with another podcast, Pack to the Future, who I do every week, and we talked about this last week, so I had to do some research. I'm sorry, Steve. I ruined it for you. So not only are they tied for first.
It really hurts me that you have another podcast with somebody else.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Even though I do, I also do as well, but, you know.
You do? You do? How dare you? I'm done. Andy, I quit.
It's in the Packaday podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's okay. I think that's fine. So not only tied for first, they're also eighth in the league in pressuring opposing QBs at sitting around 32% of opponent dropback. So, like, it's, I almost want to say it's a mirage, but it's not really. Like, the crazy thing, so, the two team leaders are Fackrell, who's been playing limited snaps, but, you know, I've been just knocking on Fackrell every chance I could get, but he's showing something this year. I still don't think he's amazing, but as a situational pass rusher, he's shown that he can do something. So good on him. That's amazing. Number two is Kenny Clark. They both have five. And then four, this was shocking to me. You know who's good? The number two pass rusher on their team as far as sacks is Blake Martinez. So what that says to me, I think Perry and Matthews combined, who are obviously your two big edge rushers, combined for four. So they've got as many combined as Blake Martinez has on the season. It's kind of what we hoped going into the season is that Pettine's really good. Pettine's really good at scheming this stuff. He brings guys from weird angles. He creates holes. It helps to have Daniels and Clark kind of holding down the middle there, but he's really good at that. Now, I do think it's a concern. I wish I had the stat in front of me. Because I think Packers bring five rushers more than anyone else in the league, and Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the league against the blitz. And so that's where they get you. You can't bring pressure with four because they can't get pressure with four. It's very hard to do that with this team. So when you say, like, they've got the 31 sacks, that's really, really good. Mm-hmm. But they're having to bring extra guys to do that. And they've been doing really good. I mean, it's not just that. It's the back-end game planning as well. I mean, you've got, you know, Alexander's been playing well. And that really, really helps them out a lot. And you've seen them kind of stymie, you know, Goff and even Brady to a degree, you know, through the first half of that game. So they're doing really good stuff on the back end to account for the fact that they're bringing that pressure. But they still have to bring pressure. They're doing a great job with it, manufacturing pressure where they can. Like, they're not a good pass rushing team, but he's a good pass rushing schemer, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, that makes total sense to me. If you watch the games, you see that they're not getting there when they just rush the four. But I think the biggest thing is, like you said, he schemes them because you're getting guys that you wouldn't normally see with the blitz that, you know, drop back and then, you know, are rushing in that you're not seeing. So, I mean, what was it, Raven Green who got the sack last week that, you know, he was on the line and you can't tell if he's going to blitz, if he's coming back. You know, I think that's a big thing. But for me, the biggest thing this week when they play the Seahawks is wrapping up Russell Wilson. They're going to get pressure on him, and it's going to happen. But that man is just insane when it comes to, you know, turning right, switching left, going back right, and then coming around and then dropping a 40-yard pass. It is going to be one of the biggest things, I think, in this game is keeping him under control, which is why – like you said, if Blake Martinez is there, if Oren Burks is there, I feel a little bit better than if it's just Oren Burks.
Yeah, and kind of going along with that as well, I mean, you know, I knew Russell Wilson's rushing yards had been down this year. I actually just got done watching the Rams game, Rams Seahawks from this past week, and I don't. It must have been something they saw in the Rams defense, I assume. But Russell Wilson did a whole. They did a whole lot of like read option fakes, but then also him getting outside the pocket and running if there wasn't anything. So actually going into week nine, which was, you know, just a few weeks ago, Russell Wilson hadn't rushed for more than 21 yards a game. And then against the Chargers in week nine, he rushed for 41. And against the Rams last week, he went for 92. And so where it kind of looked like, yeah, like he was going wild. And so it would kind of look like maybe they were dialing back. They're doing kind of more pure rushing. And then he would drop back and pass. He'd do that play action. I don't know if it's just the matchups that kind of determined it, but these past 2 weeks he's been getting out and he's been running a little bit more, and you talk about 2014 giving you nightmares, Steve. I saw Russell Wilson doing the play action or the read option fakes, and all I saw was Kaepernick going for like 500 yards on the ground, and I started getting sweaty thinking about this game. So yeah, it's listen, man, we're both having just terrible flashbacks this week.
Yeah. I can see just Clay Matthews being so unbelievably confused, man, and not knowing what to do, like hands in the air. Oh, this is just nightmare scenarios. But thank the Lord, this is not those teams. These are not those teams. So that's another thing I want to talk to you about. You see all these stats out there, though. Now it's, you know, the Packers, the last three games are 3-0 against the Seahawks. But that's the last three games have been in Lambeau.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last time the Packers have won in Seattle was 2008.
That's insane.
Everything that happened about the 2014 NFC Championship game. And then the last time that the Packers were in Seattle for Thursday Night Football, which you found out, was the Fail Mary game. You know, and then it also comes out again that, you know, the Packers sat down and said, okay, everybody's in the room right now. Raise your hand if you were on that 2014 NFC Championship team. And there was like four people that raised their hands.
Yeah.
So these stats, they don't matter, I don't believe, because, you know, it's completely different teams. But the one thing that matters is they're going into Seattle, which is an unbelievably difficult place to play.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the odds are? Do you think, you know, we're talking 50-50? What's your overall feeling for the game?
Gut feel, you know, coming off a short week. You know, they beat Miami by 19 and the running game looked good, but I didn't have a ton of confidence coming out of that game. Gut feel, about 40% chance.
Okay. And I think traveling on the road to a very difficult team, which is one of the loudest stadiums in the country, I think that's fair. I think that's a really realistic role. One side note I want to put in before we get into some bold predictions for the game and some score predictions is anytime that Jair Alexander makes a play, everybody for the Packers fans needs to remember that we traded with the Seahawks to get Jair Alexander. So, you know, every time the future Pro Bowl cornerback is making a play, we get to kind of, you know, wag our little fingers at John Schneider and be like, ha ha, shouldn't have made that trade, John. That's just me. I'm petty in that kind of way when it comes to that kind of
stuff. That's the best kind of petty.
Exactly.
The best kind of petty.
All right. So before we get going, I wanted to talk some bold predictions for the game. So I want to see a couple of things that you think, you know, bold prediction wise, and then we want to go some scores before we let you guys go. So Dusty, hit me. What's one of your bold predictions for the game?
Okay, so I've got two. I've got one for each side. So I'm going to lead off with the offense. Offensive side, this goes against everything we just talked about for the past 20 minutes, Steve, that we said ground and pound, and we're taking back to 1950 and Y.A. Tittle and blah, 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 blah. Rodgers goes for over 300 yards passing in this game. He passed for less than 200 this past game, but I kind of feel like short week. Rodgers knows that Seattle defense, you know, the scheme, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily the players, although some of the players. He knows how to play up there. Seattle's going to be paying attention to Aaron Jones since he just had his massively big breakout game. I feel like they're going to play off of that. I don't think Rodgers is going to have to throw the ball 40 times. I just think he's going to pick up enough chunk yardage. So, yeah, that's me. Rodgers, 300-plus yards passing.
All right. I will play off of that. And my bold prediction is that Aaron Jones gets 20 plus touches. Nice. So not rushes, but touches. He's going to have 3 or 4 catches again. I would say 16 to 17 rushes. So he's going to be in that plus. He's continually gone up, and I think, you know, his playing time was at about 75% of the snaps, mm-hmm. and Jamal mm-hmm. Williams was at 25, and I think that's where it should be, if not yeah. higher. So my prediction is that Mike McCarthy is hopefully understanding that the way things are progressing is the way that they should be progressing.
And well, he got 20 touches on the nose, I think. I think he had 15 rushing attempts.
I thought it was 18. I thought it was 15.
Well, he had 3 catches, but there's targeted 5. So I guess I count the targets, I guess, because they're trying to get it to him.
I gotcha. You
so, know, yeah. You, the point yeah.
drop, but yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, a little bit more than, yeah, that make. I can see that. I can see that.
So, yeah, that's my is 20-plus touches for him, and that's with completed passes.
Okay. All right. I'm with you.
All right, round 2.
All right, round 2. I got and you kind of brought him up earlier. I just decided this was going to be one of mine. I only had one picked out, but hey, man, let's do this. Raven Green picks up another sack. Really like him. I kind of like what they're doing. You know, they got rid of Clinton Dix. They got Tremont Williams back there. Jones played a little more this past week. You had Green out there. It's something about it. Might be my emotions. But seeing number 36 bust through the line for a sack is just taking me back to Leroy Butler, man. So, I'm going to go. Raven Green picks up another sack and maybe a QB pressure as well. I think they're going to get a little creative with him. He seems like he can be a menace at the line. So that's what I got for my defense. What do you got?
I love the fact that he was able to just wrap that up, that first sack that he's tremendous. Right there.
Yeah.
You know, didn't miss on it. That was a good feeling. So, defensive wise, Packers are going to pressure Russell Wilson into 2 interceptions.
Ah, nice.
Jair Alexander and Tony Brown.
Tony Brown.
Like, I feel like that is going to be a steal among steals.
Yes.
Within the next year or 2. So I think when you're going to have Josh Jackson, you're going to have Tony Brown, you're going to have Jair Alexander and Kevin King, man. I mean, this is a passing league, and when you've got 4 dudes plus your cover safeties, like, I'm digging what's going to be happening in the next year or 2 for the Packers. So
it's crazy that at this point last year, the talk was just, well, this cornerback group is garbage. How will they ever be good again? And now it's just, holy crap. There's
the future is bright in the secondary.
Very, very bright.
If we could get, you know, another inside linebacker, some edge rushers, you know, a little bit of that, we could be we could be looking at a top-tier defense, and I don't remember the last time we had a top-tier defense in Green Bay.
It's been a minute, man. 2010, been a minute.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Let's talk scores. Who you got winning? What's the differential? Hit me up. I want to see it.
I'm gonna go Packers. I know I said they had about a 40% chance, but listen, man, I always say this. I'm an optimist before the game when I start to look at things, and I'm a pessimist during the game. So I'm going to break out my optimist hat at the moment. Packers, I do think it's going to be close. I mean, these teams always seem to play each other close, except for, was it the last time when the Packers absolutely housed them with the Wilson 5 picks? God, that was a game. Game and a half. They usually play each other close. I think it's going to be a tough game. Like you said, short week going to Seattle. I got the Packers winning 24-20.
I like it. I love it. I'm kind of the same way. I feel a little bit better after the Dolphins win. It's not a blow-me-away kind of type of victory or anything like that, but it made me happy that I felt like there was a legit game plan, and I feel if they can run a game plan as well with Aaron Jones, Davante Adams, mixed in some Jimmy Graham, and some MVS, you know, over the top. Like, that's something, like, if they figure this out, this is something that this offense can be scary, and the defense is coming along. So it's very possible, and I'm wearing the optimist hat as well. So I'm going to go Packers 31, Seattle 28.
Get it.
So that's, you know, I don't think it's going to be – I think it's not a Mason Crosby winner at the end, but, you know, 5 or 6 minutes left, Mason will hit one, and then it'll be a defensive hold at the end. So
defense holds enough. I like that. Maybe you get one of your 2 picks at the end to seal it.
Yeah, you know, maybe we'll even go 3. I'll throw Josh Jackson in there. I'm waiting for that Josh Jackson pick 6, man. Like, That has got me jonesing. Like, I just want to see it. It's, and now I'm going to have sleeping children, so I can't jump up and scream when it happens. But
man, getting old stinks, Steve. It's real okay. Stinks. Really stinks.
I'll have a couple of beers, you know. We'll be good. We'll be
feeling good.
All right, Dusty. I think we're about good to go. Everybody should be ready to go for Seattle and Green mm-hmm. Bay tonight. I mean, it's going to be a good time. So we will talk to you guys in the next couple of weeks. Be sure to tune in. We'll have another Pack-A-Day podcast for you tomorrow. Game recap, everything you can think of, we'll be talking about it. So make sure you hit us up on Twitter. We're more than happy for the interaction with all the fans. So for Dusty, I'm Steve. Go Pack, go.
Osweiler steps back to an empty shotgun. Three receivers bunch right, two are split to the left. Backer showing blitz up the gut, snap over the head of Osweiler. It's up for grabs, then recovered by Green Bay. Kenny Clark all over it at the 30-yard line of the Packers. Adams goes wide to the left. Offset eye in the backfield, Rogers straight back to throw. Looks, left side of the end zone, diving grab, touchdown, Devontae Adams. Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks in under center. They get motion from St. Brown to the left side. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here is a handoff up the middle. Big haul, straight ahead. It is Aaron Jones off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sidelines, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a first 67 yards. Jimmy Graham wide to the right side. Three receivers bunched tight on the left. Aaron Jones on the left side of the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers in shotgun. Hand off Jones. Picks his way off the right side. Fights for the goal line. And did he get in? Yes, he did. Touchdown. Second down and 9 from the 27 of Miami. Osweiler play action. Deep drop. Throws left side. Intercepted. Down the right sideline, Rashawn Breland inside the 20, and he's forked out of bounds. Breland with his first interception for the Packers. Single safety high, Miami. Soft coverage on the corner, snap to Rodgers on second down at 25. Lost right side, Pat Adams at the 5, cuts it back, end zone, high stepping, touchdown! Devontae Adams popped wide open, 26-yard touchdown catch. And it's 27-12 Green Bay. We'll be right back.